Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
And away we go, hour number two of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. 20 minutes from now, Illinois' head coach Brad Underwood is going to join us. His team is off to the Sweet 16. And an hour 20 from now, the star of Creighton's great double overtime victory, and he was the leading scorer for the Blue Jays, Stephen Ashworth, will join us. So, if you listen to this show, you know I am a big fan of the Michigan football Wolverines. I believe J.J. McCarthy can be a good pro quarterback. I do not believe he could be a great franchise-altering pro quarterback, though. There is a difference. When you look at McCarthy, though, I think there's a lot of untapped potential, but it does scare me, and I get very apprehensive when we talk about prospects and untapped potential. Because McCarthy, I thought in a game where they lost against TCU in the semifinal 2 years ago, they could have asked him to do more, and if they trusted him a little bit more, I believe the first half is different. But in that game, you could see the mobility, and you could see the way where you combine the mobility into making tough throws where he could be a good quarterback. But even with saying that, I think the praise of J.J. McCarthy leading up to this draft and the overhyping of J.J. McCarthy is just flat-out ridiculous. I believe there's only two quarterbacks that should warrant a top-five pick in this draft. Caleb Williams, and Jaden Daniels. Now, I'm not a dummy. I am fully cognizant that there's going to be bare minimum three quarterbacks in the top five, and in all likelihood, four quarterbacks in the top six with the potential of even seeing quarterbacks go off the board one, two, three, and four if the Arizona Cardinals trade out of that spot at four and they pass on Marvin Harrison Jr., and they allow the fourth quarterback to go there, whether it's a team like the Vikings, the Broncos, or the Raiders, trading on up. But you would think J.J. McCarthy, with how he's getting hyped recently, is a lock, a slam dunk, and he's going to be a top five quarterback in the NFL in short order. And I don't believe that. Like, if I see a team or a player with J.J. McCarthy go to a team, I think that's so important. It's the fit. Like, if McCarthy goes to the Commanders, I don't think he'll have success. If McCarthy goes to the Patriots, I don't think he'll have success. Because I don't think there's enough around him. And it seems like he's shooting up the draft boards, but I don't think that's good for him. Like, yeah, you want to go as high as possible in the draft. But if he lands in a place like Minnesota, and let's say Minnesota doesn't have to come up and get him, I believe that's one of the best destinations that he could walk into because of the talent that's around him. Like, I look at these five or six quarterbacks that we all talk about. I think the fit matters the most for McCarthy and Michael Penix Jr. Because you see Michael Penix Jr., when he was at Indiana, he couldn't stay healthy. Then he goes to Washington. He has two great years, but the roster on the offensive side of the ball was loaded with Rome Odunze, who should be a top five pick. And then they just had the best offensive line in the country. You look at McCarthy, he had three great offensive lines. Two of them won offensive lines of the year back in 2021 and 2022. And not that McCarthy had the greatest wide receivers in the world, but he had a great 1-2 punch at the running back position in Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. So I don't think we've seen the best of McCarthy because Michigan, their plan that they devised up wasn't to feature J.J. McCarthy because their line and their run game was so overpowering. So McCarthy could be a better quarterback from watching his entire college career than what he put on tape and what he was asked to do. But still, with that being said, for him to potentially be the second quarterback off the board, I'm not going to believe it until Roger Goodell is at the podium and Roger Goodell is saying, with the second overall pick in the draft, the Washington Commanders select J.J. McCarthy, quarterback, Michigan. Like, if you want to tell me McCarthy could be the third best quarterback in this draft class, and that's what you think his potential could be, okay, I could listen to it. But having him potentially go at number two doesn't make any sense to me. I'll get to you my rankings of these quarterbacks in the draft in just a second. But here is Tom Pelissero an hour ago on the NFL Network, and the NFL owner meetings are going on, and he's hearing the buzz. He's hearing the chatter. He's hearing the chirping and all the love about J.J. McCarthy.
It's been really interesting because everybody's always trying to figure out, especially at the top of the draft, what the other teams are doing. When I've had conversations here with executives for other teams who know Adam Peters well, know the situation well, the most popular answer for what they do at number two is J.J. McCarthy.
That's crazy to me. Because if you're going to tell me that the upside of J.J. McCarthy is higher than the upside of Jaden Daniels, I just don't see it. Jaden Daniels tossed 40 touchdown passes this past year. 40. And then you could say, oh, well, where's the mobility? Even with McCarthy's mobility, it's not going to be better than Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels ran for over 1,100 yards this year. 1,100. And whatever happened to Drake May? And I've been on record saying, I don't want the Patriots drafting Drake May. I do not want Drake May. So many people that played the quarterback position, and they hear the hype of Drake May, and then they watch him on tape, and they go, the other guys, you see some of it. With Drake May, you didn't. And Drake May, I think the thought of Drake May could be a great quarterback, but there's so many signs where you see little things that he does that you go, what the bleep is he thinking about, and what the bleep is he doing on a football field? But still, with that being said, J.J. McCarthy individually didn't do enough to warrant the hype of going two in this draft. But the more and more you hear people and more people opine their opinion on this draft process, the stock of J.J. McCarthy's rising. Where it went from, oh, he could be a top 10 pick, to then, oh, he's going to not fall past the Giants at six. Up the Giants, if they want him, they're going to have to now trade into the top five to get him, to now there's a possibility that he goes to. I think it's the reverse of what happened to C.J. Stroud a year ago. And I say this all the time. This is my rule of thumb this time of the year. When you are about a month out from the draft, anything that happens a month out from the draft, I do not believe, I do not believe it until I see it happen. If it's something that's so foreign and if it's something that's so unheard of. Like if someone's going to say, oh, Caleb Williams is going to go number one to the Bears. Yeah, no crap. No bleep, Sherlock, all right? But this rise of McCarthy, now there's people that are expecting him and the buzz and the chatter is to go to. And just like last year, C.J. Stroud, well, Levis is going to go to. Oh, C.J. Stroud is in danger. He's in big-time danger of falling out of the top five. He's not going to go two to the Texans. No way. And he goes to Anthony Richardson, shortly followed him. And then Will Levis, who was getting hyped up out of the wazoo, ended up falling out of the first round. I just can't buy this McCarthy hype. And this is coming from someone that is pro-Michigan. This is coming from someone that likes J.J. McCarthy. But they're starting to make J.J. McCarthy out to be greater than what he actually is. I think he could be good if he goes to the right situation. I think he could be a solid quarterback. But do I think he's going to change a franchise? No, I don't. And right now, here's how I'll rank the quarterbacks. Caleb Williams is one. Jaden Daniels is two. Those are the only two quarterbacks that if I was running a front office, I would feel comfortable drafting in the top five. In at number three, Drake May. In at number four, Michael Penix Jr. And then at five, it's J.J. McCarthy. With all that being said, though, I'm at a point where McCarthy, even though I have him ranked behind Penix, McCarthy's definitely going in front of Michael Penix Jr. So he'll jump Michael Penix Jr. How many more quarterbacks will he jump? If you want to tell me he goes in the top three of quarterbacks, I could see that with where the information is. But if you're trying to tell me he's going to usurp Penix, May, and Daniels, and go right behind Caleb Williams, I just can't believe that until I actually see it. Let me do this, because this is more, and I mean more McCarthy buzz. Now, this is not surprising, because this is someone that coached J.J. McCarthy. This is someone that's being loyal to J.J. McCarthy. This is someone that's going to bat for J.J. McCarthy. Let's hear the man that coached J.J. McCarthy the last few years, the former Michigan National Championship winning head coach, now the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. Here is Jim Harbaugh praising J.J. McCarthy.
This killer comes out, and he's, whether it's good, whether it's bad, he's got an extra gear, you know, especially when he's challenged. He's incredible. So big market, small market, it wouldn't, cold weather, hot weather, it won't matter. And I said it before, I think it's well documented. I think he's the best quarterback in the draft. He's the one who plays quarterback, you know, of all the quarterbacks that are in the draft. There's great quarterbacks in the draft. I think he plays quarterback the best of any quarterback in the draft.
Can I just ask a simple question, Samter? What does that mean? He plays quarterback the best out of any quarterback in this draft. Like Caleb Williams doesn't play quarterback better than J.J. McCarthy. Jaden Daniels doesn't play quarterback better than J.J. McCarthy. I understand you'd rather win a national championship, but the Heisman is an individual award, and Caleb Williams won the Heisman 2 years ago. Jaden Daniels won the Heisman this past season. McCarthy, and I was someone that believed the hype earlier in the year, we were told, oh, he could win the Heisman. Guy wasn't even a finalist. And he did a good job managing that team. He did a great job sacrificing his ego because he knew the line was great and he knew that running the football was their best chance to win a championship. And you look back at that Ohio State game, he made a great throw, an incredible strike that shows the potential with that ball that he completed for a touchdown to Roman Wilson. But Daniels and Williams, I've seen dominate at an elite level individually. They didn't have the team success that Michigan's had. But if you put Williams or you put Daniels on Michigan, and I'm talking about a team that won a national championship, they'd be even better. Because Williams and Jaden Daniels play the position better than J.J. McCarthy does. So I don't get Jim Harbaugh saying that McCarthy plays quarterback the best out of anyone in this draft. I haven't seen it yet.
I mean, listen, part of it might be he might be talking about like in the pocket, like actually just being able to read defenses, understand and make plays with his arm. We know he can run the ball, but to play quarterback, it's not just about how fast and how hard you can throw it and getting first downs. There's so much more to it. And to what Jim Harbaugh said, he has that killer instinct. When things get tough, he makes big plays. And we saw with Caleb Williams, there were times where it looked like he was crumbling under the pressure. There were times, and listen, I've seen Jaden Daniels for 5 years. He puts up great stats, but his teams don't really win all that much. I mean, LSU had two losses, and they were good.
Defense was Swiss cheese this year.
Yeah, and listen, he was good, but there's something about a quarterback when all the pressure is on their shoulders, who make that throw, who make that play. And J.J. McCarthy for 2 years has basically done that. He's made play after play after play when the team needed him. And that's something that can't be quantified in stats. And you talk about the Commanders, Cliff Kingsbury's there in Washington. And he's one of those guys who's cocky enough who thinks that he could probably make any quarterback work.
I mean, he's the OC. Not the head coach, not the GM.
Right, but
he's not making the pick.
Right, but I'm sure Dan Quinn is going to an extent.
Consult him.
Not just consult, defer to him to an extent. Who's the quarterback that fits into your system the best?
I would not trust his track record. In the NFL, I would not trust his track record.
Well, I mean, he did pretty well with Kyler Murray. Kyler just got hurt a lot. Kyler Murray was an MVP candidate.
It was the same thing every year. They started out strong, and then down the stretch, they were terrible.
And then, yeah, but that's why he's not a head coach. But offensively, Kyler Murray was putting up stats. He was an MVP candidate. And in college, all Cliff Kingsbury did was create, like, high-caliber quality quarterbacks that came into the NFL. So Cliff Kingsbury can be a quarterback, quote-unquote, whisperer.
To me. He's like Kellen Moore, where everyone tells you he's so great, he's so great, he's so great, and I just don't usually see it. And yeah. I believe Kingsbury's better than sure. Kellen Moore, but Moore is supposed to be a head coach, and he bounced around from OC to OC. Here's the thing, though. Even if it was in a limited sample size, I'm not saying that McCarthy can't be good, but this idea that he should now be going to, I don't think you give me two names from the quarterback position in this draft where McCarthy at any point should be the second quarterback off the board. And I'm not comparing him to these two guys because this guy had a lot more success. McCarthy's had a lot more success in college. But a lot of times people sell you off potential. Like the potential of Zach Wilson, the potential of Trey Lance. And both those guys are begging for jobs now in the NFL. Now, to be fair, there was a lot of potential about what Jordan Love could turn into. And in year one as a starter, Jordan Love did play well. But the hype for one J.J. McCarthy doesn't stop here. If you already heard Pelissero, you already heard Jim Harbaugh. Now let's listen up to a man that actually has a pick that will be looking for a quarterback in this draft. Because Harbaugh has Herbert. So let's drum up the noise and you get a player to fall. Maybe a player falls because McCarthy goes 3 or 4. In this draft. And then you're sitting there at 5 and you get a non-quarterback. Here is Antonio Pierce of the Raiders. He shares his thoughts on J.J. McCarthy.
I think he's a very talented group. I mean, we interviewed most of those guys at the combine, had great conversations with them. J.J. McCarthy, you're talking about a national champion, a winner. So I don't know how he's not in the top 3, if you want to be honest.
Top 3? Well, we know Williams is in the top 3 for everybody. Pierce was on the staff at Arizona State and has a great relationship with Jaden Daniels. So now we know the Raiders' 3 preference at quarterback, unless that's a smokescreen, where he's saying it's Williams, it's Jaden Daniels, and McCarthy in some order.
It's all smokescreens. That's why I'm not buying it. I'm not saying that McCarthy's not going to. I'm not saying that McCarthy couldn't be a top 3 quarterback in this class. I'm not saying that McCarthy is not the best quarterback in this draft class, like Jim Harbaugh says. What I am saying is I don't trust a single thing that comes out of the owners' meetings. I don't trust a single report that we hear from behind the scenes. I don't believe any of this stuff. It's all smokescreens every year.
So I got to get to Brad Underwood, the head coach of Illinois, in just a second. But first, I need a 30-second opinion from Stuart Kovacs. He is our Raiders expert here. The Raiders trade up in the draft, and they select J.J. McCarthy in the top 4. Oh, wow. It's that negative.
It's pretty bad. It's one thing if McCarthy fell to them at 13, which I guess I kind of thought would maybe be an option,
which would be a good
fit, a month ago. But trading up for McCarthy, who I'm not a believer in, I think that would be pretty disastrous. I don't know. I wouldn't be a fan of that.
Okay. There we go. Raiders, GM Stuart Kovacs says no to trading up for J.J. McCarthy. Brad Underwood joins us next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's anniversary sale with Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Shall I take your order, or do you need a minute?
Yes, I'll be ready. Just buying a car on Carvana.
What?
It's super convenient. I already got pre-qualified in 2 minutes. All I had to do was answer a few questions.
What? That's handy.
Yeah, now I'm customizing my down and monthly payments.
What? That's an exquisite deal.
And just like that, Carvana's delivering my car in a couple days.
What?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'll have the burrito.
Visit Carvana.com to finance your next car.
Financing subject to credit approval. Delivery fees may apply.
We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Illinois has advanced to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2005. The Illini will next play coming up Thursday evening in Boston against Iowa State. And now joining us is their head basketball coach in Brad Underwood. Coach, first and foremost, congratulations. I would ask you how you're doing, but I think I know the answer to that one after punching a ticket to the Sweet 16. So thanks for coming on.
No, I appreciate you having me, and it's always a good feeling.
Well, I love the way that you celebrated after the game. Usually you see the coach just getting soaked with water, but you elected to fight back coming in with that super soaker with the water gun. How'd you come about that one?
A very, very thoughtful strength coach was thinking of my well-being there and figured it was time for me to get these guys back a little bit. So the goggles and the super soaker were waiting when I walked in from the floor. So, yeah, it was nice to get back a little bit and not just take all the cold water.
No, that's awesome. What are your first thoughts about advancing to the Sweet 16 when you've had it marinate for a few days and you look back knowing that your team's playing for a trip to the Elite Eight coming up Thursday evening? Just what comes to mind?
Yeah. You're pleased. You're excited. There's a lot of positive vibes and positive momentum and you're excited for the program, the university. This is such a storied program. You're excited for your fans. It's we sell out every single night here in Champaign and great fans. They travel with us. You're happy for them. It's been a while. So you look forward to the next opportunity, to keep doing what these guys work so hard for, and you're happy for them. And it's very rewarding. It's a lot of fun. You got to take in these moments and enjoy them. And I think this group's doing that pretty well.
You know, it's not just this group that finds a way to get this program to a Sweet 16. It's other groups as well that unfortunately came up short. Just how much were you maybe thinking about in the aftermath of the game about guys like Kofi and Io that had really good teams at Illinois, but unfortunately couldn't get to the Sweet 16?
Well, it takes everybody. And unfortunately, winning is really hard. And, great programs sometimes get beat, and that we were a one seed, we got beat. We had All Americans and Kofi and Io, great players, Trent Frazier, Demonte Williams, guys who laid the foundation for what we've built here. And there's not a day goes by you don't think about those guys, and you're disappointed they didn't get to do this, but we're not here without them. They've all hit me on text. They're all ecstatic. And Illinois is bigger than a team. It's a great university. It's a great program, very proud alums. So excited for all of them.
Coach Brad Underwood here with us, the Fighting Illini back in the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2005. There's so many different eras of college basketball, coach, right? We've seen developing players for 3-4 years. We've then seen one and dones, and now it's really the transfer portal era. Marcus Domask, what he's been able to do for your program coming in from Southern Illinois, just kind of reflect back on that transfer portal process, and how did you guys know that you were getting a pretty damn special player?
Well, we knew we were getting a good one. He had 1,600 plus points. He was an all-league guy. They had had success, been really well coached. His dad is a high school coach, so we knew here's a guy who's grown up in the gym, knew what work was. And then, you know, in the conversations we had, he wanted more. He wanted development. He wanted to continue to grow his game. He wanted to play on the biggest stage. He wanted to be in the NCAA tournament. All those things resonated, and then it was, how do we make him fit? How do we get the most out of this guy? And it took some trial and error. We had to make some changes during the season, and now we've put him in a situation to be successful. He's helped elevate everybody on our team, and but we knew what we were getting. We just didn't see it, you know, until you go through it. Is he tough enough to do it? But we saw a lot of success and a lot of positive things in the process.
Yeah, you can't fully know what you're getting, but when you talk about potential, and we've seen so many players transfer from smaller schools to bigger schools and big time conferences, are there like certain signs that you see that, you know, okay, a player has what it takes to embark in what is Big Ten basketball and be a part of a team that won a Big Ten championship?
Yeah, most of it goes back to character. You know, the character of the kid. We all see the talent. You know, we all see the running, jumping, the skills. But you know, until you really get to know somebody and what they stand for and who they are and their level of work, you know, everybody says, well, he's tough. Well, you know, that's a relative term. That can, you know, somebody's level of toughness might be different than mine. You know, how do they handle adversity? How do they, you know, do they want to get in the weight room on their, you know, and work and continue to get better? All those things play into it. And, you know, it's our job as coaches, you know, the portal speed dating.
Yeah.
You know, and the reality is you got to dig as deep as you got to dig to find out what you want to find out. And, you know, we just felt that was a great match.
Seems like you're pretty good at speed dating, though, Coach, with some of the transfers you've been able to bring in.
We got a great staff that do a really good job of knowing what fits our program and what guys do. So we like to think we're sure not the master of it, but we like to think we know what we're doing a little bit.
Coach Brad Underwood here with us. So you talk about how it's been a work in progress this year. You see what your backcourt's been able to do with Terrence Shannon and Marcus Domask as of late. Why have they been able to get things moving in the right direction, especially this time of year, and complement each other so nicely?
Yeah, we were okay early in the year. We were playing a lot of five-out stuff. Coleman Hawkins returning was a big part of this. And you know, he's a pick-and-pop five man who could really shoot it. And then we had a returning starting center in Dane Deja, and one of the real challenges was figuring out how to play. And then Ty Rogers, a guy that's started a lot of the year at the point for us, and it was just figuring out the right way, putting guys in matchups, putting guys in the spaces that they could succeed. And at first, what we were doing wasn't quite right. We were turning the ball over. It was a little more of a struggle, and then we went to booty ball, and you know, now it's you know, I say it all the time, we're starting five power forwards, and just finding the matchups. We're not an overly complicated team in terms of being able to pass, but it's you know, very much been successful and putting guys in situations that they can flourish in.
I'm glad you brought up Coleman Hawkins, because I was watching his post-game presser after the victory against Duquesne as your squad advances to the Sweet 16. Brad Underwood here with us for a few more minutes on the Zach Gelb Show. And he said, obviously, you know, we're excited, we're elated that we're advancing to the Sweet 16. But he reiterated, you don't want to get too high on the emotional feeling, because the goal is to still win a national championship. To have that kind of leadership and that tone be set immediately after the game, just, can you even place a value on that as a coach on what it means to have a Coleman Hawkins?
Yeah, that made my day hearing that, sitting up there next to him, because it's Coleman's a 4-year guy. You know, he's a guy that's never left, and he's He's gone through the adversity. He's gone through the trials and tribulations. You know, life by experience. You know, as a college basketball player, and he gets it. He understands what this thing's about. And yes, it is a great accomplishment to win a Big Ten tournament championship, to get to the Sweet 16. But this group has set standards that they haven't let anything get in their way. And it's been an up and down season in terms of the roller coaster ride, but yet they've always come back to the same thing. And that's, we're trying to get to Arizona. We're trying to win a national championship and they haven't let anything deter them from that.
You clearly have a hungry group, because Coleman also said he thinks there's a different level that this team has not reached yet. What do you think that level is, and how much better do you think this team could be?
Well, we're a team that was a top 10 team early in the year defensively, and we've got the number one offense now in the country, and yet we've been inconsistent a little bit at times on the defensive side, and I thought we made some big strides this weekend. A Duquesne team who's got two great guards. Morehead State is as talented offensively as anybody out there. And I thought we did some really good things, holding them to 30, 31% shooting. So we're getting there. I think that's an area we've got to find that consistent play that we had early. And if we get to that, then we can be really, really good.
Obviously, we got a bunch of great games to kick off the Sweet 16. But when you look at your opponent coming up, Iowa State in Boston, what are the first few things that jump off the page with the way that they play?
Yeah, TJ's doing a great job. They play extremely hard. Obviously, you win the Big 12 championship in the tournament like they did. They've beaten Houston twice, who's a one seed. I think on the defensive side they're very talented. They know exactly what they're doing on that side. They don't make a ton of mistakes. They've got a very, very good point guard. And they're a team that has an identity. And, you know, when I watch them, I know what they practice, you know, and I know what they work on. It's very evident in terms of what they do. So they're a two seed for a reason. And it's going to be a dogfight, and we're going to have to play awfully well to beat them.
Well, Coach, congratulations. I know a few weeks delayed on the Big Ten championship, and what a heck of a performance it was this weekend to get to the Sweet 16. Good luck the rest of the way, and thanks so much for giving us some time.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
If you're the cooking queen in your house like I am, let me drop a kitchen hack that's been a total game changer for me. Primal Kitchen. I'm always on the go juggling a million things like work deadlines and school pickups, so finding time to eat right is tough. Primal Kitchen makes it super easy to whip up meals that check all the right boxes, like honest ingredients I trust and delicious flavor. They have everything from unsweetened ketchup to barbecue sauce, avocado oil mayo you'll want to eat by the spoonful, and dressings that double as marinades. Genius, right? If you want to make quick, simple meals you can feel good feeding yourself and your family, trust me, Primal Kitchen has you covered. You can find Primal Kitchen at Target, Walmart, or any of your local grocery stores, or you can save 20% off your entire online order with code PODCAST at checkout on PrimalKitchen.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter,
and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, he's Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio news brief time. In about an hour, I believe, Shohei Ohtani, I can't even say he's going to address reporters. Because usually when you say address reporters, you think that's going to be like back and forth with the reporters. He will talk to reporters. He's just not going to take any questions. So he's going to give some litigious statement, I guess is the best way to say it. Now, I wonder who his new interpreter is, because we know the old interpreter is in the middle of this whole controversy where the interpreter may have been the one gambling. Some people think it's Ohtani, but there's two sides of the story here, and it makes no sense that the interpreter was in, what, $4.5 million of alleged debt, and then the story from the interpreter was Ohtani was just being a great friend and he was lending you the money so I could get out of debt. And then the Ohtani camp says, no, that's not true. He stole the money from us. So we're not getting told something. But anytime there's a story involving betting with athletes, everyone thinks of Pete Rose. And I've been trying to get in contact with Pete Rose for the last 2-3 days to get him on the show. And last night I'm perusing social media on Instagram. My buddy Josh Booty, the former MLB player and also college quarterback at LSU, he got sent a video, I think it's with a baseball agent and Pete Rose. And then Josh put out the video and I asked him if we could play it on the air and if we could post it. And he said, of course. This is Pete Rose with his first comments about the Shohei Ohtani situation. Listen up to the Hit King.
Hey guys, Matt Thrash here, enjoying some March Madness with my great friend Pete Rose. And we were talking about the current goings on in baseball right now, and Pete wanted to mention something.
Well, back in the 70s and 80s, I wish I'd have had an interpreter. I'd be scot-free.
There you have it from the Hit King.
He's 100% right here. And you got to chuckle at this. Because either Ohtani did something wrong, but the interpreter was the one gambling, or Ohtani was gambling and now the interpreter is getting the blame here. I just find it funny. And I'm not being like serious. I'm like, oh, if Pete Rose had an interpreter, that he would be scot-free. But the whole interpreter right now is being used as a front to maybe undercover the truth here, where it may be the interpreter who was gambling, but then why is Ohtani getting so, or his camp getting so defensive about the whole money and the wiring and all that stuff? So I chuckled that was the comment of Pete Rose. And don't get me wrong, Pete Rose is a sleazebag. Like Pete Rose, the person, look it up, not good, obviously, with all the allegations and things that he's been accused of throughout the years. But if I'm Pete Rose, I'm hoping Ohtani was gambling. And here's why. Because I don't think Major League Baseball has the cojones to sit him down for an entire season. And you basically use Pete Rose now to make you money, but you can't reinstate him to put him in the Hall of Fame. But you wouldn't take Ohtani off the field for an entire season. So for Pete Rose, I'm begging that Ohtani was involved in this, because maybe it eventually gets you into the Hall of Fame.
I mean, listen, whether he was gambling or not, let's say he was. Worst case scenario, he was gambling, yeah. Right? All the evidence says that he wasn't betting on baseball, right? So let's
say... Oh, we don't know.
What?
We don't know.
Well, I mean, at least coming from the investigation into the guy, the bookie, and the bookie himself has said it wasn't Ohtani and there was no bets placed on baseball
so
at all.
So far, there's nothing tangible that I can latch on to say that he was gambling on baseball. And I said this last week. I don't think he was. I think that this was the interpreter.
But for me, Pete Rose has found every opportunity to skirt accountability. The only time he ever really admitted it was when he was trying to sell a book, right? Mm-hmm. That he did something wrong.
Well, he basically admitted it here.
And he still, so he's admitted it now since, right?
Yeah.
But it took him writing a book for him to finally admit it after years. And he still barely takes accountability for him to even say this, even jokingly. Well, it does. It upsets me because I want Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, but he.
Sammy Sosa.
Yeah.
Sammy Sosa, the other day, when he was in Chicago, got asked about the steroid usage. And he said to the reporter, I'm surprised that you're asking me about that question. I wasn't expecting that coming from you. When people do things wrong, and everyone knew for years they did things wrong, unless if they can make money off of it, they usually don't admit that they were wrong, even when everyone knew that they were wrong.
Unless they have integrity. Like, Mark McGwire came out tearfully, was like, I was wrong. I did, you know, he came out and said something. And listen, Sammy Sosa was my favorite player. So it upsets me that Sosa hasn't come out. But at the end of the day, the guy has over 600 home runs. He's had three seasons of 60 home runs. He probably will get into the Hall at the same time that A-Rod and those guys get in.
I don't know about – I think Sosa should get in. I'm pro steroids in the Hall of Fame. What happened happened. Pete Rose example. What happened happened. Right. He was in the wrong. But you still – he's the hit king. He has to be in the Hall of Fame.
Like, you bet on baseball when you were a coach. Sure. It was the one thing you can't do.
Sure.
Take accountability. Stop being like, oh, if I had an interpreter. No, you bet on baseball. Interpreter or not, you would have been banned for life.
Sure, but
you're
it is
idiot.
A funny
Shut
line.
Up.
It is a funny line from Pete Rose.
No, it's funny, but it pisses me off.
Well, all right. But why are you getting so upset?
Because
he's about to cry.
For 2 decades lied to her face, and when he finally came out to tell the truth, it was to make money.
Sure.
And now that somebody else is embroiled in it, he's finding pleasure in it, and he's finding again no accountability. Oh, I could have gotten away with it if I had the same excuse. Shut up, take accountability, and just deal with it.
I'm just laughing at how worked up you're getting over this. This is not something that's new.
Because baseball's my first love, and Pete Rose makes a mockery of it. Because he was he loved the game so intensely, and he played it so hard, and now he just spits at it. Pisses me off.
All righty. You got everything out of your system?
Yeah.
You need some soft serve
ice
cream?
Move on.
We need to cool you off a little bit.
Pete Rose, come on.
Maybe I should be like Brad Underwood, and I should bring a water gun into the studio, and we could hit Samter with the water gun to cool him off. I wasn't expecting that. You're really pat. I thought you were about to cry. I really thought you were about to cry. Let's go to Gerard Mayo, the Patriots head coach, on the possibility of the Patriots taking Drake May at number 3 in the draft.
Drake May had a fantastic interview at the Combine. He brings a lot of energy. You can tell he has that leadership ability. And, you know, also the exciting part about a guy like Drake May is the ceiling. Like, there is really no ceiling with a guy like that. Now, I would say a guy like Drake May, he has a lot of room to grow. He's a young guy. Honestly, he hasn't played football nearly as much as these other guys. So that's definitely something that we've looked at. But he definitely is going to develop.
When you're at 3 overall and it's a draft like it is this year, you could move down and hit 2 other spots in the first round.
That's right. That 100%. You know, I know everyone likes to think they have the special formula to picking players. But honestly, the guaranteed way to win is to accumulate more picks. And so if we don't feel convicted at number 3, we are willing to do that as well.
Here's what I don't get about Drake May not playing enough football. He played 2 seasons at UNC. And that's the part where I don't understand with some of the analysis, because then when guys play like 4 or 5 years, usually it gets held against them. Oh, they played too many years of football. So I don't think there's a right formula for this, but the common theme that you hear from so many people, and you even heard Mayo kind of point to it, a lot of people that follow the position and have to scout the position don't think he's ready to play in the NFL for this upcoming season. And I understand what draft picks potential and what you end up doing 3, 4, 5 years from now. Patience isn't usually afforded really anymore in the NFL. Outside of the Green Bay Packers, I would not be thrilled if my football team ends up taking Drake May in at number 3. Let's go to the recently retired Aaron Donald. He was chatting on Twitter on the next Aaron Donald.
Anybody out there right now where you're like, that could be the next Aaron Donald?
I would say TJ Watt. He's a guy that consistently been doing it.
Yeah.
Every single year. He should want a couple more defensive players than he kind of got snubbed a couple of times. I ain't gonna lie, but he's that guy right now.
Man, Micah Parsons must not like that answer. If you listen closely, you hear Micah Parsons just punching a pillow. That's what I hear, screaming into his pillow. It just shows you. Real recognizes real. Greatness recognizes greatness. And yeah, TJ Watt probably should have more accolades to his name. And that's what I've said before. I do believe that it's splitting hairs, but I do give the edge to TJ Watt over Myles Garrett. Those are the 2 best defensive players, though, currently in football, now with Aaron Donald out. Let's go to 49ers general manager John Lynch, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, on Brandon Ayuk and the Steelers conversation. Now, there could be a trade potentially, and John Lynch threw cold water on that.
I was just with Mike Tomlin and at the Michigan Pro Day, and Mike coached me, and so we're very close. And he's like, "Bro, what's going on?" Like, I promise you, we got nothing. And nothing's going on there. We're actively talking with Brandon, trying to figure something out. And we have a good history of working with the guys we want to get done to get something done. And it takes two sides. So can we do that? We'll see. But we appreciate the heck out of Brandon and who he is as a player. And we want him to be a part of the Niners. So we're going to work towards making that a reality.
Though they've been in messy contract situations before with receivers, and they ended up getting it to work with Deebo Samuel. Now let's see if they could find a way to find the money in order to keep Brandon Ayuk happy. It would not surprise me, though, if this continues to get ugly and Ayuk continues to comment it and drop things on social media, if eventually they just say, okay, at the draft, let's try to find a way to trade him and get maybe a first-round pick back for him. Let's listen up to Matt Painter, the head coach of the Purdue Boilermakers. He defends his big man, Zach Edey.
You see people, you know, around the country, even, you know, fans, but even people that cover the game say he's just tall. What would you say to the people that say that, that are only looking at the size and not just the game?
Yeah, they just shouldn't cover basketball. Yeah, you know. And so, like, you go to school and you learn things or whatever, but we all don't like every single class we're in, right? It's kind of a necessary evil. It's like going to work. Like, you don't like everybody you work with, or you don't like certain parts of your job, and, you know, it's tough, right? You got to be able to deal with, like, certain things that are difficult. So I just think everybody should, like, take tests on their knowledge of what they're doing. Like, I think all coaches should take a test so they understand refereeing, and I think all referees should take a test so they understand coaching, and I think all journalists should have to take a basketball quiz or a test, or anybody that tweets, they should have to be able to do it. And if they say something so moronic as that, then they should have to have a probationary status where they can't tweet for like 3 months. I think it'll help like society, you know, like just try to knock out the fools, you know, so they don't have to, you know, meet at the local Walmart and say things that don't make any sense.
You know who he sounded like there when he was rambling about this? He sounded like the late great Mike Leach a little bit. Like, I feel like that would have been a Mike Leach type of rant. I thoroughly enjoyed that one. The only thing I will say is, Coach, maybe you should have to take a media quiz as well. And then if you don't do well in the media quiz, then maybe you can't speak to the media. But I thought that was a good, clever response. I want to say Samter. Some of it was serious, and then some of it was marinated in sarcasm. And I would think more and more as you went on, it was marinated in sarcasm. But there was a point behind that, and that was a lot of people that comment about Zach Edey don't know a damn clue what they're talking about when it comes to basketball. But anyway, it is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. The show is flying by. We still have 60 more minutes to play. Steven Ashworth, guard for Creighton, was their leading scorer. He's going to join us 25 minutes from now. But when we come on back, the Bills are trying to be contenders, but they keep on having a pretender attitude. I'll tell you why next.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.